Praise the Lord. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 this morning. Last Sunday night, the youth prayer meeting was restarted, and God just came down as they prayed and sought the Lord for our service. And so don't forget our pre-service prayer meetings tonight at the youth, and then over in the middle room, the other prayer meeting. Let's come early and pray and believe the Lord to move in this evening service in a very special way. This week, 10 o'clock Tuesday morning is prayer meeting. 6 that evening is youth nursing home ministry. Wednesday at 7:30 is family worship night. And did we have a great Thanksgiving service this last Tuesday? And over $1,800 came in for the offering for the Philippines. And then this Friday from 6 to 9 is the Junior Youth Christmas Party. And Saturday at 1 is the Senior Saints Christmas Banquet. Communion service, and as we prayed with the choir prayed before we came out, we just want the Holy Spirit to make Jesus especially real in our hearts today as we partake of communion. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Thank you. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Those verses start in verse 12 with two words, giving thanks. And I want to preach today on the Eucharist, the Eucharist. Let's pray together. Father, make this time at the table especially real. Jesus, we're aware of our need in your life. We're aware of our need of you in our lives, Lord, in a very special way. Not just today on a Sunday, but Lord, in the week ahead, we need Christ at work in our lives. Now, Lord, bless your people. Bless us to hear what you would have to say by your Spirit. Bless me, Lord, to speak the things that need to be spoken. And may this supper today be a special occasion in your presence, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Today I fully intended of preaching from the next chapter in Revelation, but I got up Thanksgiving morning, and the very first conscience words that came to my mind out of nowhere were these verses, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And it was at that moment I decided that in this communion service we would preach from that and kind of just cap off our Thanksgiving week with another encouragement of giving thanks to God. Amen. I entitled this the Eucharist, and I did that one reason. Those first two words of verse 12, giving thanks. This is the word that's used, Eucharist. That's how that verse begins, Eucharist. If you remember when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, it begins to tell that story, and it says, after he had given thanks, he took the bread and he divided it. And so there again was those words, Eucharist. After giving thanks, Jesus took the bread and he distributed it to those at the table. You also know that in some churches they still call the communion the Eucharist, because the communion is to be a time of giving thanks. In fact, the word's just a little more powerful than that. It means with great gratitude to express appreciation, with great gratitude to express a thanks and a thanksgiving. And so this Lord's Supper this morning, in the very truest sense of the word, is a Eucharist. It's our opportunity to say thank you to the Father. Amen. I don't know if it's ever been you. It could have been someone young on up. But have you ever done something and later you said to someone you could share with, they didn't even say thanks? Have you ever said that? They didn't even say thanks. You know, I know if it's a true act of kindness, you don't do it to hear a thank you. But it's an inescapable part of our human nature that when we have purposefully shown kindness to somebody and they never say thanks, it hurts. It hurts. I remember it one time, and this wasn't a stranger, it was someone, a part of my life, that I saw a need in their life, and I gave them a significant sum of money, and they never said thanks. And try as I can, I don't want to be that kind of person that brings up the past, but through the years when I see them, that surfaces. I didn't do it for a thank you, but just to think that the gift meant no more than that. They never said thank you. Now, you know, I know God's not as petty as I am, but I am made in the image of God. And if I experience that, I wonder if sometimes God doesn't feel the same kind of hurt after all that he's done for his people, and yet many times his people fail to genuinely and affectionately look up to him and say with everything within them, thank you, God. Thank you, Father. And I don't want to sound negative, but you know, sometimes in Christianity, you hear so much of the time people complaining what's not going right about their Christian life. Don't we have a whole lot to give thanks for what he's already done? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, when we say thanks, I think there's three things involved. First of all, there's the person whom we thank. And secondly, there's the what the person did that we're thanking them for. And most of the time, there's the how. We're thanking the person for how they did it. Let me give you just a quick little illustration. Suppose you have an unexpected automobile expense. Your engine blew up or something happened and you don't have enough money to take care of it. And God gets to dealing with somebody. And they go and they buy a thinking of you card or God is faithful card. And they write a $300 check and put it in there. And they hand the card to you at a service. And you get home and you open the card and there's the check for $300 and you begin to weep because it was just the amount that you needed to get your automobile with the money you already had to get your automobile fixed, and you're so grateful. What do you do? First of all, you thank that person, and as you thank them, you're thinking of how kind and generous that they have been. So you're thanking the person, and then you're thanking them for what they've done. You gave me the very amount of money that I desperately needed, but then you even thank them for how they've done it. That you know, just going out and buying the card, making that effort, and writing the check, and finding me at church, and slipping it to my hand. You thank them for how they did it. And I think the same thing is true when we thank God. We can thank him for who he is, his goodness, his mercy, his love, his grace. But we thank him for his gift. We thank him for what he has done for us. But we also thank him for how he brought it all about, and what he went through, that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. I think that's involved in thanks. And would you, to cap off this Thanksgiving week, one more time in this communion service, just say, God, I just want to say thank you. Giving thanks to the Father. Hallelujah. Let's look briefly at those first things. First of all, whom we thank. Paul said, giving thanks unto the Father. I want you to try to imagine something. I want you to try to imagine, what if there was no God? Could you do that for a moment? Try to imagine, what if there's no... Imagine the evolutionists are right. We crawled out of some muck by the side of the sea, and it all just happened. There is no God. Could you imagine that? Now, you look, if there's no God, you got to also imagine, as you look out into the stars... The stars lose their brilliance and their beauty, because if there's no God, there's no God out there. There's nothing out there but cold and barren rocks and more emptiness. If God's not out there, that's all there is. Cold rocks and more emptiness. Now that's bad enough, isn't it? You say, I couldn't think of anything worse. Let me help you. Think of this. I think this is even worse. Think that there was a God and all-powerful God. But instead of being loving and merciful and gracious and kind, this God is a cruel God, a mean God, a hateful God. What if there was a God, but he was distant and cold and unapproachable? What if there was a God, but he hated humanity? What if there was a God and he were a monster and he enjoyed causing us to suffer? Instead, there is a God, but we can call him Father. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the kind of God that we know we serve? I know we talk about God as a Father. That's supposed to be a term of love and care and provision and protection. But we have a problem today. And the problem is many have had painful and sour and abusive relationships with a father, an earthly father, that was not what that father should be. And that causes problems today in an age of a fragmented family and so many raised without a true father. And the term father simply has become a name on a birth certificate. And if there is a father in the home, he's not what he ought to be. And children are abused and there's an ugliness. And so that causes a problem when we begin to talk about God as a father, because people think of their earthly father. But let's just make one statement here. It isn't the kind of father that we have that should indicate what God is. It's what God is that should indicate what kind of father we should have. We can't go backwards. We can't see an abusive and an ugly father and say, well, that must be what God's like because God's called Father. No, it's we look at who God is and his kindness and his care, his provision, his protection, and say that's the way an earthly father should be. But aren't you glad he's not cruel and hateful? Aren't you glad we can thank him and we can call him Father? Why? A true father is one who unconditionally, wholly, unreservedly, fervently, unqualifiably loves his children and protects him and provides for them and gives them what they need. I'm telling you, when you got a real father, there is security in knowing, amen, you can call him Father. Whom do we thank? We thank our Father. Hallelujah. Could you lift a hand right now and say, thank you, Father? Say it thinking of all those things that a true father is. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. It's grown threadbare, but that song said, we have a heavenly Father above with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. Secondly, for what do we thank him? Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, the first thing we thank him for, but I want us to notice, it says, the Father which hath made us. I want you to just stop and think of that for a moment. He made us what we are today. I know some folks want to take credit. But if we are anything, if we've done anything, if there's any good in us, if there's any child of God in us, if there's any salvation, he made us what we are. Hallelujah. He made us. And it said here, he made us meet. In other words, he made us apart. I've often said as I prayed, Father, thank you that you allow us to be a part of your kingdom. Did you realize God didn't have to include us? God didn't have to allow us to be a part, but God has made us a part of this glorious thing called the church. And being a part of that, we receive an inheritance. And notice the word light in here. Amen. He made us a part of the company of those that dwell in his light. He could have left us on the outside, but he made us a part. You know, the first thing I thought of when I thought of this is I was never very good in sports. And one of the most miserable times, and there's a few of you will confess you were there too, is when they picked up teams. And everybody knew you weren't very good. Wasn't it wonderful when the one captain chose you? Wasn't you just so grateful to that captain? Hey, wasn't he a nice fella? You were just grateful that he chose you. Well, I want to tell you something. On the spiritual side of it, none of us were any good. We ought to give thanks to the Father because the captain chose us to be on his team. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He qualified us. That's what it's saying. He qualified us. He made us meet to be partakers. In other words, he had to make us able. He had to make us so we could be a participant. He qualified us. We didn't have what it took. We came up short. We lacked. Even, but he made us. Even he made us so we could have a part in this. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not after the will of the flesh, not after the will of man, but were born after God. In other words, they didn't have what it took to be a son of God, but he gave them what it took to be a son of God. Hallelujah. None of us got on the into this thing on our own. We didn't have what it took to come to him. We didn't have what it took to change our lives. We didn't have what it took to be a child of God. But what we lacked, he gave us. He made up for. Oh, can you say amen? Make no mistake. There's not a person here that had what it took, and we still don't have what it takes. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough smarts. We don't have enough good looks. We don't have enough good works, but he made up for what we lacked to qualify. He gave us what we needed to come to him. He clothed us with the righteousness that we lacked. He made up for our failures. He made up for our sins. He made up for our insufficiencies. Just think about it. God did it all when we really weren't interested. He convicted us. He drew us. When we didn't think that we could make the commitment, he moved in our hearts. He walked with us down an aisle. Amen. He met us at the altar. He gave us in our heart the belief to believe in Christ. He gave us repentance so that we could confess our sins. He breathed in us and gave us new life. He made us a new creation. I mean, he washed us clean from every. He did it all. I mean, we didn't have anything. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Oh, he did it. It's his work. He did it. He made us a part. The only thing we did was say yes and accept it. God qualified us. He qualified us based on him, and not based on us. I thought of something. It's been years since I seen it on the news. But President George W. Bush was in South America. It was quite a big entourage, and they were moving from one location through some hallways to another location. There was our Secret Service men, staff members, and then there was that nation's security. And they're all walking in a crowd. And I don't remember if it was a staff member or a Secret Service agent, but one of them kind of towards the peripheral of the crowd, that nation's, I forgot what nation it was, that nation's security men suddenly grabbed him and began to pull him away from the crowd to an exit. And President George Bush happened to look back, George W., look back, and saw them pulling that man of his, that staff member or agent of his, pulling him away out towards the exit. And immediately he whirled around, walked over there, some of you remember this, grabbed the man by the shoulder and said, "He's with me." He's with me. Anyone remember that in the news? He's with me. I'm telling you, our condition was the same. Amen. I mean, something had a hold of us and it was leading us the wrong way and the wrong direction. But Jesus came, grabbed us by a shoulder, looked around and said, "He's with me. He's coming with me. In other words, George W. Bush qualified him. That man could not get in on his own. He had nothing to offer to get in on his own. But when George W. Bush put his hand on him and said, "He's with me," that qualified him. Amen. That other nation's security guards, they had to let go because he had been qualified. Glory to God. Amen. The enemy would like to drag every one of us down to hell, keep us in bondage, pull us away from anything good and right in heaven. But I'm telling you, the moment, amen, we had nothing to qualify ourselves, but the moment Jesus said, "He's with me," that changed everything. We've been qualified not because of who we are, but because of who He is. Glory to God. Amen. Aren't you glad? If you're saved this morning, there came a time that God said, "Let him in. Let her in." Hallelujah. Let him in. Let her in. Oh, that's what He did. He qualified us. Hallelujah. He allowed us in. And by the way, because of that, may we never try to keep out who God is letting in. I said, may we never keep out who God is letting in. If God qualifies them, that's enough. Hallelujah. Not only did He qualify us, He delivered us. Verse 13, who delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Before I get to what God has done, I want you to notice there's only two possibilities. Hear me. There's only two possibilities. Either we're in the kingdom of the power of darkness, or we're in the kingdom of His dear Son. No in between, no third kingdom, no third option. We're either in one or the other. Amen. The world may not want to concede it, but everybody in this world is either under the power of the darkness or they're in the kingdom of His dear Son. Anybody here in the kingdom of the dear Son? Have you ever called Him that? Dear Son. Won't you do that right now? Dear Son of God. Go ahead. Dear Son of God. Dear Son of God, I'm glad I'm in Your kingdom. I'm glad I'm no longer under the power of darkness. Another thing I want you to note, that darkness does have a power. Make no mistake about it. Darkness has a power. Addictions and fear and confusion and depression and discouragement and temptation and the sins of the flesh. Darkness has a power. And everywhere we look in our society, we can see the darkness. Or the power of darkness. It does have a power. Oh, but the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended or could not stop it. Even darkness has a power. Oh, but light is a power that dispels the darkness. Aren't you glad for the power of light? But the point is here. Notice, He delivered us from the power of darkness. Sister Brock, a person don't just decide to walk away from the power of the darkness. They don't just say, "I'm tired of the power of the darkness. I'll just walk away. I'll just get out of there. I'll just quit. I'll just stop." You can't just walk away from the power of darkness. You must be delivered. Amen. Our world is filled with people that says, "I'm not really an alcoholic. I can stop whenever I want to. I don't really smoke. I just smoke one every two or three a day, but I'm not a smoker. I'm not addicted to pornography. I cannot go to that site anytime I want. I'm not in any kind of bondage." They tried that in Jesus' day. We've never been in bondage to any man. Well, amen. Why are you even telling us if you know the truth? You shall be set free. I want you to know you cannot just walk off and leave it. The abusive relationship, the thing that's got you chained, the thing that's got you in bondage. Amen. It's the power of darkness to hold you captive. Oh, but Trisha's already read it. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel, deliverance to the captive, to set free." I'm telling you, you cannot just walk off, but you can be delivered. What you cannot get loose from, He can reach down and set you free. And He does it over and over again. He can do it this morning. Notice he doesn't just deliver us from darkness. He translates us into the kingdom of his dear son. No more than we can just walk away from the power of darkness. No more can we just decide we're going to be a part of his kingdom. I'm going to be a church member. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be a part. You can't just decide. Just like he has to deliver you from darkness, he also must put you in his kingdom. Aren't you glad he's done both? He's delivered us from darkness. And you know, that's why we're humble in this Lord's Supper. We're not sitting here thinking, oh, I've been accepted by God because I'm so good. I escaped my life of sin because I just got strong will and strong discipline and I know how to tell the flesh no. And you know, I'm just in church this morning because, you know, it was my decision. I'm such, we can't any of us, every one of us, as we partake of this communion, must say, I'm only a part of this thing because when I was in bondage of sin, he delivered me and he put me in his kingdom. I'm here because of what he did. Oh, hallelujah. Grace. I said, what grace? He didn't just bring us out of darkness. He brought us into the light. He didn't just take us out of the pit. He set our feet on a solid rock. He didn't just bring us out of prison, out of jail. He sat us on a throne in a heavenly place. He didn't just set us free from our past. He gave us a bright future. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't just deliver us from the dark alleys of sin. He brought us into the banqueting table in the brilliance of his light, a table loaded with good things. Oh, he brought us out to bring us in. Oh, aren't you glad for what he's done? I'll move on, but I want you to notice one thing. Salvation always entails a move, a transfer. In the power of darkness, moved, transferred, translated into the kingdom of his dear son. When a person genuinely is converted, there will be a move. There will be a move. How many's glad he helped you make that move? Hallelujah. Last of all, how did he do this thing for which we thank him? Verse 14 tells us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. We've talked about him making us a part, a partaker. We've talked about him delivering us from the power of darkness. We've talked about him translating us into the kingdom of his. How did he do that? How was that possible? All of that was possible through the redemption through his blood. That's how it happened. We've heard it, if you've been saved very long, you've heard it thousands of times. But everything we enjoy in God was purchased by the death of Christ on the cross. The resurrection is what sealed that, made it available to us. But it was the death on the cross, the shedding of blood, that paid the price. By his blood, he can make us partakers. By his blood, we're delivered from darkness. By his blood, we are translated into the kingdom of his son. And that's why I say, let's not get rid of the message of the blood. I've read demographic studies where churches went out and surveyed the community and said, what turns you off about church? And they said, well, it's those symbols of the cross and those songs about the blood that repels us. We don't like it. And so the churches go and they remove the symbols of the cross and they quit singing about the blood. You've just taken the power out of this thing. Being made something, being delivered, being translated, it takes the redemption through his blood. Aren't you glad we could sing this morning? There is power, power, wonder-working power in his blood. Amen. You see, also in this is we can't change the fact. It's sin that keeps us out of his kingdom. It's sin that keeps us in bondage. It's sin that keeps us in a place we're not a part of his kingdom. It's only the blood that can change the effect of sin. And it can. It can. We could preach all morning. I'm not going to. Music, go ahead and come. About what redemption is. And sometimes we have forgotten what redemption is. But another word for redemption is ransom. Ransom. We know what ransom is. Somebody is kidnapped and they demand a ransom. We won't let them go until you pay the ransom. Oh, you know, we've been ransomed. Remember that this morning when you hold those elements. He paid the price that I could still go free. Hallelujah. How many knows he's paid the price? He's paid the ransom. There's a new virus out. And some that's looked at my computer thinks that my computer may have it. It's an encryption virus. And what that does is you don't know that it's come onto your computer, and in the background, one by one, it's encrypting your files. Till it gets done, you can still access your files, and but it's working one by one. It's changing it. Let's just put it in layman's terms. It's messing them up, locking them. And when it gets all finished, there's a red screen that comes up on your computer and says, all your files have been encrypted. For an individual, it's $300. For businesses, it's $3,000 up. If you'll pay this price, here's the word they use, this ransom, we will send you the key to unlock, de-encrypt your files. I read this morning that many people have just given up and paid that ransom. They hadn't backed up their data. Their files are ruined. There's only one way to salvage those files that are messed up is to pay the ransom. I'm telling you, Satan, he really got involved in this thing. He really messed us up. Locked up our lives. He even got into the DNA. Sin messed us up big. What kind of ransom is it going to take for our messed up lives, our locked up lives, to be made right, set free? There was only one price, and it was not money. It was the blood of Jesus. Could I tell you, God paid the ransom through the blood of His Son. That's what it says, redemption through His blood. Therefore, we can be forgiven. Aren't you glad He paid the ransom? How many could say this morning, I was messed up. Devil got a hold of my life and messed it up royal. Held me in bondage. But God paid the ransom. So church, could we give thanks to the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, and whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. As the servers come, would you lift your hands and give thanks to the Father? Could you do that? Oh, hallelujah. Let's give Him thanks. And as you're thanking Him, church, if you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to know He's already paid the price. You might be set free. You can leave here delivered this morning. Delivered. You can't walk away from it on your own. But Jesus can set you free. Worship Him as we serve communion. We just ask that everybody wait till everyone's received their elements, and then we'll partake of communion together. Amen. And as we're serving, just make this a time of thanksgiving to God, and let God speak to you of His goodness and His grace and His mercy and love.
About you more and more. How soldiers beat you to the ground. I didn't need you when you hung there bleeding from your thorny crown, but I need you now. I see you now. I see your love. I see a tiny glimpse of you.
This communion is not just in remembrance what the Lord has done for us, just a ritual to do that, but it's a time by faith to receive what we need in our souls, the help, the strength, the healing, light, confusion straightened out, our bodies touched, our minds touched. So I want you to believe that this goes far beyond any ritual. It's a time where the Spirit of the Lord can minister what Christ has done into our hearts. Could we stand across the building to partake together? Amen. Brother Gary Lee, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the bread? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's partake the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Leitner, will you ask the Lord's blessing on the cup? Yes. Amen. Let's partake together. Now I want you to lift your hands and say, power of the resurrected Lord, work in my life right now. Hallelujah. 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 Power of the resurrected Lord, work in my life. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let him work right now. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we humbly lift our hearts in gratitude. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amazing. We're going to sing this as we always do, but Brother Brother Leitner said something in his prayer that I didn't touch on, we need to leave with. Not only did he deliver us from the power of darkness, he translated us into the kingdom of his Son. The word kingdom means where he rules. So whereas our lives have been under the bondage of the evil one and we did what he wanted us to do, now our lives are under his rule and our hearts are set to do what he wants us to do. That's a grateful heart. You are my King. You are my Lord. Amen. Are you glad his grace found you? Let's sing it.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind,
I want to sing verse 1 again. Remember, he made us. He made the difference. He made the change.
Amazing grace, oh how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now.
Hallelujah. How many believe we're going to make it all the way? Hallelujah.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Tis grace that brought,
it's grace brought me safe thus far. And it's going to be grace that takes us all through. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we've been there 10,000 years.
When we've been there, oh, 10,000 years. Oh, bright shining as the sun.
Giving thanks to the Father. Praise God, praise God.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
I thank you, Father.
Praise God, praise God.
You made us partakers. You delivered us.
Praise God.
You translated us.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's praise him right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. You did it. You made us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Spirit of God, make it real all over again. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish somebody real loud right now would say, thank you, Father. Oh, somebody else, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. I believe the Lord is here, and I believe we're going to just have church tonight. I feel it.
Amen. Amen. Love one another for you leave. Greet one another in the name of Jesus Christ.